Sometimes if you go to the dollar store, they have little pieces of carpet for a dollar.
Yeah.
We're getting. I don't know why you hit the record button as I was mid sentence.
We're getting new flooring in Caprica's room, so I'll have a bunch of carpet.
There you go. Perfect.
Just cut a section. See, like this is mine.
Bo has a new keyboard, and then he has a plug-in pedal, and the pedal is slip sliding away.
And I have another of those pedals as well, and it's also slip slidey. Mm. But then I can put that into the secondary. Like there's, hi, I'm Bo. And that's Brandon.
I'm Tom Holland. He's back. Just kidding.
I'm back.
Just kidding.
It's Tom Holland.
He was only here the last 2 weeks. He was doing a residency.
in our
broadcast.
We're here to talk about Two Tunes. And also, Tom Holland is here to promote his new film. What's his new film?
Snakes on a Plane 2.
Still snaking with that band.
Cobra Starship.
Cobra Starship. They all the. That's a bad.
Do you know what I was like slightly disappointed about with that band though?
That they didn't keep going.
Well, no.
Or that the band that he was in previous like put out their best record. We talked about this when they were on the podcast.
No, but the fact that like I thought the band was going to be all the people that were in that were on that song.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was like a super group.
Okay.
Of like Gabe Saporta.
No, I thought it was just Gabe.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
We all know that now.
Yeah.
But at the time when like that was the one song they had, I was like, oh, it's like a Fueled by Ramen, Decadence Records, like supergroup kind of thing. I was like, that's cool.
There we
but
go.
No, they we just got, collaborated on that one track, which was great. Good. But.
Yeah. We got. Also, I believe that was. So I read this book. 21
Ooh,
Hit Wonder.
Read a book. Yeah. Ooh, must be nice.
Fancy.
Must be nice.
Read this book called 21 Hit Wonder. I forget the guy's name. Apparently he didn't stick with me, but he wrote that. I believe he was part of the process of writing that song.
Okay.
He also wrote like a Coheed and Cambria song, and he was like pop punk guy for a while.
Yeah.
And then like it's a really good story.
Mm-hmm.
But it basically says it's like, yeah, you're always a failure. Like it doesn't matter how much you do, you're gonna fail at some point. You're gonna ride high and then you're gonna go down low. It's just like, as long as you keep going, you're a success.
Well, and how many songs has he written?
21.
No, but like he's clearly written more than that.
Yeah. He's got a ton. Like he's like, oh, and I would go for this and I'd go for that, and then like I wouldn't get a call back, and this happened and this happened, and like all these stories of like how, like. I had this one hit, or I was like big for a while, but then I was like, I didn't want to get caught in this thing. It's a lot about like self doubt and like it. I don't know. It kind of feels like, yeah, it doesn't matter, but he keeps going, and it's like, and here's the next failure I did, and here's the next failure, and here's the next failure. It's like you've had all those failures. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like how many failures?
The opportunity to have those failures, I guess.
Yeah.
Is the,
and it's like 21 Hit Wonder, and it's like. Yeah, I forget what podcast I learned about him on, but it was a weird one. It wasn't like I want to say it was the new music podcast, Ari Herstand's podcast.
Okay,
how to make it in the new music business. I thought it was that, but then I think it's not that because it was like, why is this guy on this podcast? And it was Working Class Audio, which is more about audio and not songwriting.
Yeah.
So, you brought up Fall Out Boy.
I mean, kind of.
Fall Out Boy, yeah.
Tangentially, yeah.
Yeah, because Decadence.
Yeah.
Fall Out Boy played Pittsburgh the other day with, Pittsburgh. I forget, who, were they on tour with?
Jimmy Eat World and Hot Mulligan.
There you go. Oh, yeah, there you go. Anyway, so in Pittsburgh, they played, what's the lead singer's name?
Patrick Stump.
Yeah, Patrick Stump played a Punchline song.
Oh, nice.
So it's like, yeah, these guys from Pittsburgh, and like everyone was blowing it up. I was like, oh my god, people, like they play, and they're like, they know each other, they're like, they're not maybe like best buds, but like they toured together, played together, they like they know each other. It's not like, oh my god, this is so random. It's like no, they knew each other. But it was cool. But then Chris Fafalius, who's the bass player of Punchline, he also is the producer of what's the band, Krista Makes a Podcast. And he's like, maybe
Less
I should
Jake.
Get him. Yeah. And then he's like, maybe I should get him on the podcast. And it's like, yeah, you should. You should 100% get him on the podcast.
Yes. Speaking of Fall Out Boy, actually, I sang karaoke for the first time in like 2 years.
Nice.
The other night.
I have a question for you afterwards.
Okay.
I'll totally forget it.
That's right.
Just be like, karaoke.
Yeah, I... Wednesday night at a bar called 704 in Harrisburg. They do it every Wednesday, but usually I have school the next day.
Oh, yeah.
And this Thursday we did not, so I went out. I went to rehearsal, and then I went out to 704 and sang a couple tunes for karaoke. I sang Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy. And what's my other go-to, Bo? Do you know my other go-to song?
I don't. But
Kings of Leon song.
This something is nope. The Sex is on Fire.
Yeah, that one.
That's what I'm saying. Sex on Fire. What is it called?
I thought you were going. It's called Sex on Fire.
Okay.
I thought you were going somewhere else with it.
Yeah. No, I wasn't, because that's the only song that I know of by them.
No, you know.
Do I?
Use Somebody.
Oh.
That's the one like everybody knows. Okay. That was the big one.
I wish that I could use somebody.
Yeah. Do you know what's a good tune too? Is Closer. Actually, that whole album that those three songs are on is really good. Are you running down your note?
I am. Ask me later? I'm totally gonna. I know that I'm gonna bring it up, and you're gonna be like, "Dude, you've asked me this a million times."
Fair enough. It was super fun. I haven't done karaoke, like I said, in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And then before that was probably, more than 2 years.
Now I remember the other thing. Yeah. So very recently, this is old news. I don't know who won, but you know how like Central Pennsylvania has
the CPMAs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Central Pennsylvania Music Awards. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Put on by the Central Pennsylvania Hall of Fame.
Sure. Music Hall of Fame.
Yes, Music Hall of Fame. There's a lot of letters in that one.
Yeah.
So I was like looking through, like I'm like, who won? Why do
Did
I care?
You know anybody?
I mean,
I know one of my friends went.
So
I don't know if he was. I assume he was nominated or something. He plays in the band Emily's Toy Box.
Okay.
If you've heard of them,
I haven't. But okay. So I'm in. This isn't going to happen because I don't have enough free time or free money to do this. But like, I should be more part of the scene.
Sure.
Like I should go to more shows. I should know.
You've been talking about this.
I've been here for 10 years. I should probably go to more things.
Yeah.
I should probably be like, yeah, I know these people. Like I'm a musician in the community.
Yeah.
I teach lessons in the community. But there's like there's a section on there that's like, guitar lessons. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't really care to be nominated at all, but like I was like, I could. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like,
that's what my friend, I'm just curious.
So Rod Gels is on there, and what's the other guy's, Mitch, or maybe Mitch is his last name, I forget. He works for I'm gonna draw a blank on this at all, something Mills Studio. Anyways, it's on there, and I know Rod Gels because he technically is part of Keystone Musical Arts Center, which is where they were nominated for best music lessons, and I teach through there.
So my friend Brandon Reese is his name. He was nominated for best guitar lessons, actually.
There you go.
Yeah, but he also plays in the band Emily's Toy Box.
Did he win?
No.
I don't know.
He was also there for best music lessons.
Okay.
Yeah. Rod Gels won.
For guitar?
For music lessons.
Okay.
According to this website that I'm looking at, which is their website.
Okay. Because I looked at like the day after, because it was on Thursday.
Rod won in 2022.
Yes. I'm aware that he won in 2022.
Fair enough.
Because Keystone Musical Arts Center won like the 2 years before that.
Mm-hmm. Perfect Fifth won for music lessons.
This year?
Yeah.
Okay. Menchie's is always on there too. I was like looking, and I'm like looking at more shows, and there's this, so go ahead.
There's a category, best local music podcast.
Yeah we're not on it.
No, but like does it mean,
I think it means
best local
like talking
music
about
podcast or best local music podcast?
I think that it means they're talking about local music.
Okay. Because the story I'm aware of, that's a local one. But then the one that won is just called, it's called Central Pennsylvania Music Podcast.
Yeah, that's the part, that is part of
the thing.
They're part of it.
That's funny.
I don't think that, like, they know that we exist, by the way.
Okay.
Because the guy who runs Keystone Musical Arts Center now works with Central Pennsylvania Music Awards.
Okay.
So they know he knows that we do this podcast.
Sure. We wouldn't.
But we're not about local music.
That's
we're about
I mean.
So so it's like local is like you live in the area or local. We talk about local things,
right?
Which I think that's what that is.
Yeah.
So that's why we don't qualify.
Sure.
Anyways, so I was like looking through things, and
oh, sorry, I'm just like seeing more things now.
Yeah.
The guys that ran the karaoke I was at the other night are in the band Gunmetal Grey. And they just won Best Metal Band.
Oh my God! So this by the way,
ties in.
Yeah. He had pink hair.
No,
one of the guys had pink hair.
I don't think so. One of the guys might have been wearing a hat too. Okay. I was also at the other end of the bar, and I only went to the other end of the bar if I had to pee or sing.
Okay. So, anyways, yes. So the bass player from that band.
Okay.
His name is Ed Allison.
Okay.
He's also in a band called Lynhurst, and the reason
That guy was there, because I think both of those things were mentioned.
Yes,
he was. Two guys that were, okay.
Because he was, I've been looking him up recently. Sure. I'll explain why.
Internet stalking.
Yes. So there's these ads that were popping up for, it's something that begins with an L. There's this new, maybe it's a new band, or just like new to me. They're the best thing to come out of Hershey's since chocolate. It's like the ads that they're running.
Sure.
And it's like the guy on 105.9 or something.
Okay.
Like you can tell it's like, oh, that's a radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having ads. So I follow them. It's like, they're a decent band and they're playing at,
Love Drafts. Yeah.
Love Drafts. And then I was like, oh, cool. Maybe I'll go see them. Cause it's on a weekend that I can actually go see shows. That's my biggest issue is that like, I can only go see shows unless I want to be like, I'm not going to make money. I'm going to go spend money.
Mm-hmm.
Which Frank Turner is for that. So, and then I looked at like headlining is Lynhurst.
Okay.
And then I'm like, oh, I'll look up this band and they're pop punk. They're good. They're decent.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, then I read their bio and I see this Ed Allison and I'm like, that name sounds familiar. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the guy that subbed for me one day and then like left his CD.
Oh, like subbed for you here. Like at school.
Yeah. In this room.
That's wild.
Like years ago.
Yeah.
Like pre-pandemic.
Sure, sure.
He subbed for me, and I'm like, oh my God, like that's so cool. So go, if you're in Central Harrisburg, or actually no, they're also going up to like New England. So I think that he's like, yeah, my side gig is substitute, because like, that's super flexible.
Yeah.
And then you can tour whenever you want. Be like, I'm not going to work this week. It's kind of like Uber, but like you just go into a classroom and hang out.
Yeah, I think he was one of the guys. It's hard to, I can't like.
Yeah. He's got like really shaved head, but like I know that he dyed it recently.
Okay.
It was pink for the photos that he was at the awards. Anyway, so those are my things.
Yeah. So he sang. Yeah. So it was him and the other guy, mm-hmm. and he. So I sang "Sugar, We're Going Down,"
mm-hmm.
and there's the part in like the. It's kind of the bridge where they like they just sing the chorus again, but like everything kind of drops out.
Yeah.
Like, and then there's the like secondary vocal line.
Yeah.
He like grabbed a mic. Like I saw him like grabbing the mic as that part was coming up, and I was like, oh, cool, he's gonna do the part.
Yeah.
Because I've done that. Because I do that song. That's like my go-to karaoke song. And many times I've done that at places, and somebody like the DJ or whatever will get on the mic and like do that part because like it's another part or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like, oh God, like gave him a fist bump. I'm like, hell yeah, like you know, like that he was like doing the part. Like that's cool. Like fills it out a little bit.
There
and stuff,
you go.
So yeah.
Look at you.
There we go.
All the things I was gonna talk about today.
Amazing.
It's all connected, man.
Yeah. I also one time sang that song in front of the Love Gods, apparently, which is like a local big kind of like legendary local group kind of thing.
But anyways, I'm going to try to go see that show.
Nice.
It's Lynhurst and Lives Lives. I don't know. I forget. I'll look it up. I'm an asshole for not knowing right now.
Next week, but we'll know.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Anyways, so we're here to talk about two tunes and a bunch of bullshit for 15 minutes. I've chosen an old band, old band. I probably have their first record.
Yeah?
Yeah, the early November.
Okay.
So their first record came out in...
I think I just have that one EP.
An EP?
I think so, or something.
I
know that one song by them. I never really listened to them.
Okay, so I have The Room's Too Cold, which came out on Drive Thru Records in 2003.
Maybe that's what I have.
Like, it's a girl in a bathroom. It's like all green.
I have some kind of EP.
No. Anyways, so I have that, and then like
I have the So for all of this?
All lyrics written by Arthur Enders, who is the lead singer, except one line.
For all of this, I have.
For all of this?
Yeah, I have that EP.
Yeah, 2002. So like predating their debut.
I'm pretty sure I have that, yeah.
Which that also came out on Drive Thru.
I think I also have the acoustic EP.
Yeah. But the Room's Too Cold, that album, which this song is not off of, I think this is funny. It's like all lyrics written by Arthur Enders, except one line in Blue Baby by Matt Pryor.
Isn't Ace Enders, right? He goes by Ace?
Yeah, he goes by Ace. Ace, okay. But on here, it just says, like, his first name. But yes, he goes by Ace.
Yeah. Who's Matt Pryor? Is he in the band?
From the Get Up Kids.
Oh. Okay.
The only reason I know that that's his name is because there was a podcast I was listening to. It's like, hi, I'm Matt Pryor from the Get Up Kids, and this is blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Well, so, that album has Ever So Sweet, which is, like, the big song. That was a opening track.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyways, so they were a band until 2007.
Uh-huh. Right after their triple album.
And then they broke up.
They wrote all the music they could, put a triple album out.
Yeah, and then they're like, we're done. Not true. Then they in 2011, they came back. And then this album came out in 2012. Mm-hmm. The first two records were on... What did I just say? Drive-Thru. And then they were signed to Rise for the next three records, 2012, 2015, and 2019. And then I don't know exactly what happened in that time period. But in 2020, they came out with an album called 20, which was on Pure Noise, which is one of our favorite record labels right now. So, and it's all of the same members since 2007.
Okay.
So...
It kind of explains, like, I haven't listened to, like, a lot of them. I listened to the one or maybe two EPs that I have. I don't know if I just recognize the covers or if I actually have them.
Yeah, I just recognize the second.
I'm fairly certain I have the acoustic one, but also the other one looks familiar. But anyway, that explains a little bit why I thought the singer sounded a little different, but it's just because it was, like, later than their...
10 years after their... Was it 10? Let's do math, kids.
Several years after.
10 years after their initial formation, kind of, sort of. Anyways, so this song popped across my Discover station, which just plays stuff. It's like, you haven't heard this before, quote unquote. Because like some of the songs are like, yeah, I've heard that, just not on Apple Music.
Right.
And then I was like, ooh, this sounds like Weezer, like Pinkerton Weezer.
Okay.
And I'm like, do you not get that?
Let me, as we listen again, I will.
So the chord progression and the guitar leads right at the beginning just feel Pinkerton Weezer.
Okay.
All right. So this song's called Like a Kid.
That's right there. It's very loud.
Hold on. Hold on. No one heard any of that. Just letting you know.
It was very loud in my headphones.
It was very loud, and no one heard it except for me and Mr. Bittner here. So, here it really is.
Okay.
And it might be quieter. I don't really know. We'll find out. No,
that's
it's not.
The wrong song.
Oh, my God. So many mistakes. Here we go. So this reminds me of Weezer.
Okay.
I can't think of what song, but it's on Pinkerton.
So here's a story of a kid who had it all, who almost lost touch but found control. Yeah, she was tough and had to break it on her own. And she was just like you. Leaving a school that stripped
trying to see. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what else have I heard Ace Enders in?
Yeah.
Because I was like,
Ace is in a lot of bands.
Yeah, but the one I think I know the best is I Can Make a Mess Like Nobody's Business.
Yeah.
Which is like an acoustic-y kind of thing. That basically ran at the same time as, like, it's from 2003
yeah.
onward. So he basically had that on the side of the early November at the same time.
There's,
That for sure I have. I think that I have some album of theirs somewhere.
On their Wikipedia, like, all the band members have side projects. It's like other projects.
Right.
And Aaron West in the Roaring Twenties is one of them.
Oh, I've heard of them, yeah.
And that, yeah. Like him. And if I break, I glue the seal again. And it's just like yeah, so that I Can Make a Mess is just Ace's band and, like, touring members.
Yeah.
And really hasn't released anything since 2014.
Yeah. Oh, the one guy was in Hello Goodbye.
Nice. Yes. As I said, like, a lot
but, like, for just a couple years, but still, yeah.
Yeah. So that lead part, like the chords changed underneath it for this part.
Okay.
And I think it's cool. Pointing out all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like a kid again.
That part I almost wish we would just like hang out for a second and then like drop out completely and then come back in.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Thank you, Apple algorithm.
Yeah.
Algorithm.
As opposed to the Spotify algorithm, which just gives you all the same stuff all the time.
Maybe.
Only just when you shuffle. They're real bad at shuffling.
Yeah.
Like, real bad. Yeah.
Can't think of what song it is. The Weezer song.
I don't know. You would know more than me.
Yeah, I know it's off Pinkerton. That's all I can say.
Oh, by the way, so I forget how Weezer came up in my music theory class the other day.
Yeah, because you went.
I might have. Like, honestly, I might have. Or one of the kids played. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the one somebody was like, "Oh, they're going on tour or whatever. They're playing that album that has them on the cover and it's blue." And yeah. I was like, "It's called the Blue Album, guys."
Well, no, it's actually called Weezer.
Well, sure,
self-titled. But then there was like 12 other Weezer albums. Yeah.
But then is one of them like problematic?
I mean, Rivers has always been weird.
No, maybe not him. Like a bass player or something like that. Because one of the girls in my class was like, "I'm pretty sure one of them's like a bad dude, and yeah, they're gonna go out and make a bunch of money." So I don't know.
I think that Rivers has written songs that are very much like, "Dude, what are you doing?" And always has been kind of like, "These are weird. Like, you're kind of a creep."
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't know. I said to her, I was like, "Hey, I don't know."
Like even Pinkerton. The album,
mm-hmm.
like, there's a lot of things that are just like, you're really creepy if you think about it, like, 20 years after the fact.
Gotcha.
Like, him writing a song about, like, "Oh, well, she's gay, but, like, you know, like, why can't she like me?" It's like,
oh.
Because she's not into dudes, dude.
Right.
Like, why are you singing? Or if you like read into them and then you actually think about them and you're not like 15 years old, you're just like, this is weird. I don't know if there's any, the second bass player, he had drug issues and he just kind of like disappeared on them. The current, oh, well, it's just like Weezer and male fragility.
Oh, there's apparently Brian Bell. Oh,
yeah, he's the guitar player.
Yeah, he's apparently being accused of some stuff.
Okay.
There's a Twitter account called Expose Brian Bell.
A whole Twitter account. Wow.
And they've been like releasing some stuff.
Okay.
There's a reply tweet to this one specific tweet, and it's like, doesn't feel surprising in the slightest that someone from Weezer is a creep.
Yes. Yes, 100%. I mean, he's kind of been like the quiet guy.
Yeah. Apparently
everything.
He's being accused of some stuff.
Is a groomer, apparently. Yeah. Apparently, Brian Bell is a groomer, according to a Reddit post.
Yeah. So, anyway, I guess that's what they were talking. I just thought you might know.
There you go.
You're more into Weezer than me, but
I don't know all of the things.
Gotcha.
But I know little of the things.
Good job. I'm just going to put that anywhere.
Good job.
All right, moving on.
Yes. Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I am bringing to the podcast a piano player.
Yeah. This, by the way, this sounds very similar to... Crap, I can't think of how many episodes ago it was.
I don't know. Sorry, Grammy award-winning pianist and composer Taylor Eigsti.
Lambert. That's the one that I was thinking of.
Lambert.
Yeah.
Christopher Lambert.
Just Lambert.
Highlander fame.
Yeah.
Anyway, he is a piano player, composer, like we said. Apparently was labeled a prodigy when he was a kid.
Yeah, okay.
Released 8 albums as a band leader in addition to appearing on over 70 albums as a sideman. I've heard of him more on other people's stuff or like in collaboration with other people.
Yeah.
And then just recently, he released his album Plot Armor on the Ground Up label.
Nice.
And then I was like, oh, let me like... dig into this, and I really like it. Like, the whole thing is really, really good. Features several collaborations, including the tune we're going to talk about today. The title track, Plot Armor, really good one, really interesting. Just the whole album's so good. Becca Stevens is on here, who's a singer I really like, as well as Gretchen Parlato. Yeah, so this is a song called Bucket of Fs.
What does the F stand for?
I assume fucks. Like, you get a whole bucket of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
As in, like, or you got zero of them. I don't know. But this features Ben Wendell, who's a saxophone player and bassoonist, actually.
Nice.
Who's great as well. So, yeah, this is Taylor Eigsti's Bucket of Fs featuring Ben Wendell.
Time signature?
4. Everything's in 4/4 if you don't count like a nerd. Just grooves, man.
Yeah.
Even with all like the shifting stuff, like
yeah. I was listening to it while I was on my new keyboard, and I was like
trying to jam along,
just trying to get like the fingers to move. Not on the right keys at all, but like.
Cannot find liner notes.
Yeah, man. Get a website.
I'm just trying to find who all the players are.
Put your crap together.
There's Ben Wendell. Thank you. No. I don't think so, at least. Yeah, I particularly like this one because it's got all kinds of these different... There's like those very symphonic elements, obviously, like with all the strings and the woodwinds and stuff.
Yep.
And then there's just this kind of like groove-based thing with the sax. Reminds me a bit of Bill Lawrence as well, who we talked about. Also, I need to find the Japanese release of this, apparently. Yeah. It's got a bonus track on it. It's a tune called Nancy with the Laughing Face, which I really like. Like, in general, I like that tune. So I'd be curious to hear his take on it. It's just a four.
Yes, it's a four.
At least that part. Stuff in there?
Yes.
Do you think that was like a pedal? An effects thing? Like doubling in the octave? Or was it actually being played?
There's a bunch of different ways that you could do it. Okay. So...
Or just double the track itself up and, you know, synthesize it.
Why is it fading out, man?
Because all good sounds fade out.
Sure they do. You're the big proponent of that.
I know.
Okay, so like one of the things that you could do...
That's my one beef with the song, because it fades out.
It fades out.
Yeah.
I think that like they obviously wrote it, and I think that... Like it's the doubling's on a key, isn't it?
It sounds like it.
It sounds like it's on a keyboard, right?
Yeah.
So they wrote it and then they practiced it and they're like, let's double that. Yeah, yeah. And then like somebody's doing that on the keys. That would be the coolest way of doing it.
It also sounds like a fully improvised line.
Yes. But if you record it and then you're like, ooh, let's go back and double it. And then he has to like, okay, let me figure out what you played there. Okay, and I'll double it. So that's a hard thing, but the cooler part of it. Second thing, you could do it with a pedal. You could like, okay, well, we're going to mic it and then like put it through some...
An octave pedal of some kind.
It would... Or plug in, anything
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
That's what I... Like, if I were to do it, I'd be like, you go, you play the things. Like, okay, then I would bring it into Logic and I would get the MIDI. Because you can turn audio into MIDI. And I would just get the MIDI and then be like, okay, like tweak it and be like, oh, like... Lengthen the notes, shorten the notes, and then like put it on a piano sound. Be like, there you go, or play it through a MIDI keyboard and be like, okay, there's the sound.
Yeah.
So, but I think it was played. That would, I mean, I don't think that this person's gonna not do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, let's do it together.
Yeah. And maybe it just is a written line.
Yeah.
You know,
it does feel
just sounds
improvised.
Yeah.
But maybe it is written.
Because,
like, sometimes people will, like, oh, I wrote the solo or I improvised the solo. Like, those are two different things where some... I think high schoolers are more inclined to be, like, write a solo instead of improvise a solo.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not a high schooler, but
yeah,
that's.
But if you're going for that effect of the doubled,
yeah,
part.
Wow, your song is like really loud.
Really? Oh. Because when you played your song originally,
Well, that was coming straight out of the computer through
into my earballs.
Into your earballs, yes. The other one was going through a interface.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What are the two forms of legal remixing?
So, covers mm-hmm. and knockoffs. Mm. Any other questions?
No, that's it.
So he's reading, there's a paper on my desk.
A worksheet. Bo's a worksheet teacher. Yeah,
that kids will watch the video and then answer questions to it. And the top one is, what are the legal forms of remixing? And one is covers and the other is knockoffs. So like Green Day is a knockoff of like almost every other band in the world, even themselves. No, Green Day is a knockoff of The Clash. And then like Liz Phair and I forget who else they put in there, or Led Zeppelin and Greta Van Fleet.
Sure.
So Greta Van Fleet, yeah, they sound and they even like sometimes look exactly like Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. That's perfectly legal. Or if they're just covering their songs, you could do that. Nothing mm-hmm. wrong with it. But like sampling is because mm-hmm. the video is all about sampling. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's our episode for this week.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening. And
Like, subscribe, follow.
Like, subscribe, follow. Discord. It's popping. Uh-huh. It's popping because of those kids.
It is? I haven't been on there in a minute.
I mean, there's like two people that joined and then like are starting crap. Not like bad stuff.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yep. So we'll see you next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.